It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and get ready for trade time, baby, because that's what we're talking today. My co-host, Adam Pfeiffer, is back with me to talk our four tradeaway players and four players that we are getting on our rosters. Adam, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, dude. This is probably, like, the hardest podcast each week because, I mean, we're week eight now, right? And it's just, like, it's so hard to recommend trading players away because at this point, I mean, we had a handful of more injuries in week seven. It's like, not many players left, but there's still avenues to, you know, buying low and selling high on players. And especially with the actual NFL trade deadline like a week away, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, dude, every time we go to construct this lineup and we get to the trade away, I'm just like, Who are we getting rid of? I mean, like, we're going to talk about a few running backs to get rid of here, but it's so hard because you're like, well, everybody's dropping like flies. I mean, you're going to get volume, so I should keep you, right? It's just one of those things where it's like we're trying to capitalize on not only volume but the upcoming schedules, and some of these players are coming off big weeks, some are coming off of dud weeks. Players that we think that could increase their stock in the weeks moving forward, considering the matchups that they have on the docket. So, Adam, let's dive into this, dude. Who are the two players that you are like, all right, come on, baby. Come on to the roster and let's go.
So, he's on bye this week, but I really don't care, like, what you have to do to get him on your team. But Terry McLaurin is a freaking star, like just absolutely superstar player. And look, everybody knew he was gonna have a productive day against Dallas last week, and he did. He had what, 90 yards and a touchdown. He had a touchdown ruled down at the one that was called back, so it could have been an even better day. But he's just balling out. It doesn't matter. He had like over a 50% target share last week. He, like, Kyle Allen is, you know, I was a little concerned when Kyle Allen took over, but look, it's the same offense, the exact same carbon copy offense as it was during his time with the Panthers last year. Same coaching staff, same everything, same offensive coordinator, literally the carbon copied offense. And Terry McLaurin is pretty much in the DJ Moore role, where you remember in the second half of last season where DJ Moore was getting, you know, 10 targets a game. He was over 100 yards pretty much every game. The only thing was he wasn't scoring an insane amount of touchdowns, which McLaurin, you know, he's probably in that same kind of mold in terms of touchdowns and receptions and yardage. So if DJ Moore was, you know, a wide receiver one during that, you know, stretch of the last season, and, you know, it was a bad team that was throwing a lot. Washington's a bad team that's going to be throwing a lot. I know they dominated Dallas last week. That's not going to happen every week. And McLaurin still saw double digit targets. He, you know, is fifth in the league with 69 targets. Nice. 29.7% market share, is fifth in the NFL as well. And he has 49% of Washington's air yards. It's the highest rate among any receiver in the NFL. So even with Kyle Allen under center, like, McLaurin has proven that he's at least, you know, at worst a low-end wide receiver one each week. And he's been a guy that, despite having some tough matchups, has just produced. It really hasn't mattered. I mean, he had over 100 in a touchdown against Patrick Peterson earlier on in the season. He had a solid game against James Bradbury and the Giants the other week. And look at his schedule coming up. He's got the bye week. Then he has the Giants again, which, you know, it's not the greatest matchup, but it's not like the most daunting. Then he's got Detroit, Cincinnati, Dallas, Pittsburgh. San Francisco in week 14 isn't great. And then he closes it out with Seattle and Carolina the last 2 weeks of the season. So there probably aren't many receivers that I would take over Terry McLaurin at this point.
I love it, man, because the thing about it is he's going to get a ton of targets. His market share, his role in this offense is awesome. Washington is running a ton of plays every single game. Like, their pace is to die for. And the thing about it is if Dallas had put up any type of fight in that game and put up more than 3 points, Washington would not have taken their foot off the gas, and Terry McLaurin would have had a nuclear type of game, much less the people are like you're talking about. dude had a touchdown, like, ruled down at the one. If he scores two tutties in that game, good luck trying to get him on your team. So I think that some of this, he should have gone absolutely Chernobyl last week and should have gotten a second touchdown. If it had done that, you would not be able to get him on your team. So it still creates a trade for window before that slaps shut in the coming week. So I love this call.
His only bad game this year was the Rams game. A, that was against Jalen Ramsey. B, that was the game where Alex Smith came in and they just didn't throw the ball anywhere close to, let alone, you know, 10 yards down the field. You know, they were just throwing to McKissick and Antonio Gibson. It was great for Alex Smith, but he had no business being in that game once Kyle Allen got cleared to return. So that was his only bad game this year. Everything else has been, he's been over 60 yards in every other game. You know, he's been over 100 in two of those games, and he scored in two of them. So he's just a beast, man. Absolute stud.
Yeah, no disagreement here. So cue the lights, cue the music. It's time to moonwalk, baby. It's time to dance party. Tell me who your next trade for is. Da-da-da-da!
Yeah, we need, like, we honestly just need, like, a sound or some sort of some sort of alert for when we're about to talk about Irv Smith. Look, the Minnesota Vikings, there's been a lot of rumors about them being in the trade market and selling before the deadline. And you'd have to think, I mean, Courtney Cronin, who covers the team for ESPN, wrote an article highlighting some of the more realistic and less realistic trade candidates before the deadline for the Vikings. And number two for the most realistic was Kyle Rudolph. And it shouldn't surprise anybody. I mean, he's obviously, you know, one of the more beloved players in that franchise. But at this point, given the way that the team looks right now, you know, why not trade him to a contender when you have, especially when you have Irv Smith, you know, in the wings. And look, the last 2 weeks, they were off last week, but weeks 5 and 6, Irv Smith, if you just look at those 2 weeks, he's 8th in the NFL among tight ends in routes run. We've seen the tight end, the 12 personnel usage for Minnesota increase during that span. His routes run have gone, you know, they were in like the low tens or low teens to, you know, upwards of 30 the last couple weeks. And he's played in the slot more. He played in the slot the highest rate of the season against the Falcons the other week. So everything's already trending up for Irv Smith. We know this is a team that wants to run the football, but their defense, they're also probably going to trade some players, some more players away on that defense. So if the defense continues to play poorly, they're going to have to throw the ball 35, 40 times. And 35, by the way, is like an average amount, but it's a lot for Kirk Cousins. It's like 10 more attempts than he usually throws. So that just that alone would be huge for Irv Smith. We know Thielen's getting his. We know Jefferson's getting his. But other than that, like, they don't have a wide receiver three to speak of. It's really Irv Smith, who is just an absolutely superstar talent. We've been talking about him for months, and if Kyle Rudolph gets traded in before the next 6 days, it'll be drastically more difficult to acquire Irv Smith. So, and I talk about it every single freaking podcast, but if you don't have George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, or, you know, Hunter Henry, you probably need an upgrade at tight end. And at this point, like, you don't have to give up a lot to get Irv Smith. And like I said, if Rudolph does get traded within the next couple of days, that's going to change.
I mean, dude, hashtag let Irv swerve. Like, this needs to happen, dude.
I want everybody, after they listen to this podcast, to just tweet us, hashtag let Irv swerve, and then we'll just retweet it and just get the movement out there even more.
Please.
That's my favorite thing in the world, by the way, is like a Sunday morning or something, I just get a tweet with the hashtag let Irv swerve. I'm like, yes.
You know, hey, look, if we're not doing anything else right in this podcast, in this world, if that somehow makes the Twitter timeline for at least a few people, we're doing something right there, Adam. So I'm going to stay on the Vikings love here, and I got to talk about Justin Jefferson. For all the reasons you're talking about Irv Smith, I love Justin Jefferson because I feel like this man still does not get his due. Like, if you look at the last 4 games for him, 9 targets, 175 yards receiving, touchdown, 5, 103, and 0. He had 5 targets and 23 yards. Okay, he disappointed there. 11, 9, 166, and 2! If you look at this guy, the talent profile is there. This defense is still not going to be good. If Rudolph gets traded, that's even more targets to flow in the direction of Justin Jefferson. You look at the matchup they have coming up this week. Going against Green Bay, Jair is going to follow Adam Thielen all across the field, so thus pushing more targets to Justin Jefferson. The next few matchups after that, they get Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville. Now, Chicago and Carolina are not great matchups for the wide receivers. I'm not even going to sit and touch on them because that's just a fact. They're doing really good things as far as defending wide receivers. But if you're looking at these next six matchups, dude, he's got four-plus matchups. Detroit is 23rd in DVOA against wide receiver twos. Dallas is 31st. And Jacksonville is allowing the sixth most receiving yards to wide receivers. Like, so you're looking at this moving forward. In the next 6 weeks, four-plus for great matchups, and targets are going to possibly even get more concentrated in this passing offense, a defense that is not great, and the Vikings want to run the ball, but if they're going to be down in games, they're going to pass the ball, and they're going to have to throw. So I love him as a buy low, because even with the explosion games he's had in three of his last four, people still do not view Justin Jefferson in that same light as a lot of other guys that are in that top 36. Hell, he could finish out the year down the stretch as a top 24 wide receiver if they have to throw weekly, game after game. So I love Justin Jefferson. And another guy that is not getting his due for the role that he has in his offense, for what he's been doing in the last few weeks, and a guy that disappointed and crushed my heart last week because he dropped a one-yard touchdown, he got another touchdown called back, and that's James Conner, man. He is the lead back in this offense, and a team that is going to run the ball at a decent rate. There's still, he's going to be involved in the passing game. I don't understand why people don't love this dude enough. He's the RB15 in PPR leagues right now, and the offensive line is good that he's running behind. If you want to talk to me about injuries, dude, that's every running back in the freaking NFL right now. Like, if you're not going to trade for a guy because you're worried about injuries, then you don't need to make any trades for any running backs, period.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a fact.
No, totally. I try not to let injuries cloud my judgment of players, which is probably why I drafted Adam Thielen in every draft. but yeah, like, dude, James Conner, I just wish Benny Snell wouldn't steal his touchdowns. But yeah, like, you're getting 20 touches every week from James Conner.
He has been a stud, man. I mean, look, last five games, 18 touches, 22 touches, 18, 21, 23. He's rushed for 100 yards, more than 100 yards, in three of those last five games. Like, you look at his next few matchups on the docket, and this is one reason why I think you need to go get him now. And if you don't do it now, it's after this week. Because they get the Ravens this week. After that, his schedule opens up, and it is beautiful, Adam. So, like I said, Ravens this week. After that, he gets Dallas, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Buffalo, and then Cincinnati again. You are talking about these teams in adjusted line yards allowed, 30th, 25th, 12th, 19th, and 25th again. Like, I don't know what more of a pretty schedule you have to look for. Like, that is four amazing, if not top five, matchups. He's going to be a guy that we talk about in our DFS episode moving forward a ton in the weeks to come. I love James Conner, and you got to go get him now, because if you don't do it now, I still don't think that people are giving this man his due as a top 12, hell, top 10 running back over this next upcoming stretch of games. Like, he could be a guy that is a difference maker for you down the stretch.
So I was doing my snaps and targets article for FTN Fantasy, which I do every Tuesday. And I go through, obviously, the snaps, targets, but I also go through red zone usage. Not just, you know, I kind of combined it for that week and for the season. And I looked at James Conner because, you know, anybody that's, you know, followed James Conner this year for fantasy knows that Benny Snell has stolen a handful of touchdowns from him. But I was pretty shocked to see that he's actually sixth in the NFL in carries from inside the 5-yard line this year. He just hasn't been, I guess, converting him as highly. He has three touchdowns on those carries. But, yeah, that was surprising to me to see that. Like, watching Benny Snell get all these touchdowns the last couple weeks, and they bring in Anthony McFarlane sometimes even in there too, like, I would have thought he would be outside the top 10. So, it's, I guess it really hasn't even been that bad. And like you said, against, you know, maybe not Baltimore this week, but against these next couple defenses he's going to see, he should be able to convert touchdowns for sure. And like you said, like, I was tilting about it. We talked about it in Slack on Sunday afternoon, but he had in the first quarter, they had like a 7-minute drive to start the quarter, the Steelers did. And it ended with Connor getting a little, a little swing pass. He was in the end zone, caught it, gets called back for holding. Then he has another one called back, or dropped, excuse me. So, yeah, like, it could have been an even better day for James Connor. Justin Jefferson is second in the NFL behind Davante Adams in yards per out run, and he leads the NFL in yards per target. So he's pretty much the Stephon Diggs in this offense. He's a downfield threat, which we kind of talked about, which made sense, obviously, because Diggs isn't there anymore. And they just don't have anybody else at receiver, and they're going to be throwing the ball more. And he's also top 7 in fantasy points per route and target. He's been an absolute machine. And I would break everything in my house if it happened, but there's still a slim chance that Adam Thielen gets traded before the deadline. And if that happens, then wheels up.
Yeah, man. I just think that these are definite windows that you can capitalize on, both with the schedule and their roles, and they could even be as good as they've been. They could be even better in the weeks to moving forward. So we're talking about all these players that you need to be acquiring and getting onto your teams. If you are looking to acquire some more football goodness and all of the best memorabilia in the business, you got to head to pristineauction.com. You can start bidding on thousands of items for as little as a dollar today. They have daily auctions for signed helmets, jerseys, footballs, all kinds of amazing things. Over 8,000 items in their auctions at all time. You are going to find that must-have item today. So you need to head over to pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com, and use promo code FTN for $10 off your first invoice, and let them know that we sent you. All right, Adam, let's flip the script here, man. Let's turn this on its head. Guys that we have got to be getting off our teams, who are your two players you are trading away for now?
This one scares me a little bit because he looked so good last week, but then I remember that any single person that plays the Dallas Cowboys probably will. So I'm sticking with Washington and Antonio Gibson. Look, I know he had the breakout game, 20 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown. He still didn't lead the team in snaps. J.D. McKissic led the team in snaps, led the backfield in routes run. And look, it was a game where Washington was winning they were ahead comfortably the entire game. And, I think Washington is much better than last year, obviously, but they're still not a team that we expect to be winning by 22 points very often. I talked about their schedule with Terry McLaurin. It's equally as good for Antonio Gibson, but they're also going to be playing teams that score more than 3 points and don't have 5 offensive linemen missing and have their backup quarterback get hurt. Like, I just, if they're chasing points, Gibson's still going to catch like enough passes, but he hasn't been playing more than McKissic anyway. So when they're behind in games, it's obviously going to hurt Gibson. I'm not saying you just, drop what you're doing, especially if you picked up Gibson or drafted him late or whatever, and he's been helping you with, if you lost Barkley or McCaffrey or Nick Chubb or Eckler or whoever, do not just trade him. But, this is the opportunity to trade him at his highest point because he's not going to have a better game than this one. And I still have some concerns about J.D. McKissic's role in the passing game and the fact that when they've been losing and trailing games and in the 2-minute drill and in the hurry-up offense, McKissic's been in the game over Antonio Gibson. That was the case against the Giants 2 weeks ago when they were chasing points. So I still think Washington's going to be a team that we shouldn't expect to be winning by 22 points very often. And if that's the case, Gibson will – it'll hurt him a little bit. But like I said, if you're hurting at running back, it'll be really hard to trade away Antonio Gibson. That's why this portion of the podcast is so difficult, right? Like, who the hell is trading away running backs at week 8 with – I mean, think about it. How many running backs are hurt? Barkley, McCaffrey, Chubb, Eckler, Carson, Kenyon Drake, Mixon. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy with all these injuries, man, and I get it. I just think that there are concerns, and I think that you're right, man. Gibson's coming off a fantastic game, and this is still, we're talking about – you mentioned trading for Terry McLaurin and investing in the passing offense. The rushing offense is not something that we could think is going to be a stable asset moving forward week to week. They're going to throw the dang ball. But I can't tell you how they're going to run the ball like every single week. Like, their offensive line is still not good.
Yeah, and I think McKissick has clearly carved out a role. And Kyle Allen, like, this is a really concentrated passing offense. We talked about that on the DFS podcast. It's 10 to 12 targets for Terry McLaurin. It's, you know, 4 or 5 to Logan Thomas. And then literally the rest go to McKissick and Antonio Gibson. So Gibson's still going to catch, like, 3 or 4 passes a week. But those carries will go down to, like, 13 if, you know, they're chasing points, which they're scheduled, like, they're not going to be, like, massive underdogs in a ton of these games. Like, they have the Giants, they have Detroit. Like, they have some matchups where, like, it'll probably be a competitive game, but they're also at the same time not going to be up by 20.
This next name that you have on your trade away, I'm really curious because I think that some people could be looking to trade for or buy low on him considering the quarterback change. What is your thoughts on DeVante Parker?
For starters, he's just been so banged up this year. That worries me. It's been all, like, soft tissue stuff, too. And we've seen that happen with Alshon Jeffrey, where it's just been so frustrating. And DeVante Parker's obviously younger, but he's been hurt for, you know, prior to last year, he was, you know, regarded as a pretty much a bust. So he's been, you know, dealing with hamstring and foot injuries and all this stuff. That's kind of strike one. Then you have the quarterback change, which the only thing I can think of with the Miami Dolphins doing this is the fact that heading into the season, regardless, their plan was to start 2 after the bye. Like, they're 3-3, they're 2 games out of the division, but I think their plan was, no, it doesn't matter what happens, Tua is starting after the bye, and that's what's going to happen. He's going to start this week. I don't think Tua is like this just massive downgrade, right? I mean, Tua, in terms of pedigree and talent coming out of the draft, you know, make the case he was better than Joe Burrow before he got hurt. He's an awesome talent, but I don't think he's going to force throws like Ryan Fitzpatrick has, and that's going to hurt these receivers. Like, I think it's going to be more, you know, throwing it to the tight ends, throwing it to Myles Gaskin. Like, DeVante Parker, I'm not saying he's not going to get targets, but you look at last season, one of the reasons DeVante Parker was so good is that Ryan Fitzpatrick just threw him the ball. I mean, common sense, right? But 21% of Fitzpatrick's pass attempts were into tight windows. That was the 4th highest rate in the NFL. This year, that number is currently at 20.3%. So it's pretty much the same number. It's if you take Trubisky out, who hasn't been playing, it's the 4th highest rate in the NFL again. I don't think Tua is going to be that aggressive. That's going to hurt Parker. I think he's going to spread it around more. And look at the schedule, man. Like, they're coming off their bye, and they got the Rams this week. That's a brutal matchup. They got Arizona the next week. Patrick Peterson is reminding everybody that he's still good. Then he's got the Chargers and Casey Hayward. He's got Denver, who isn't a bad matchup, but I think A.J. Boye is healthy now. He's got the Jets, which is a great matchup, but whatever. Bengals, Chiefs is a bad matchup, Patriots is a bad matchup, and then the Raiders to close out the season. That is not great for DeVante Parker.
Tua, we don't know how he's going to play coming out. We don't know what the target share, how this offense is going to necessarily look. I think that some people could look at it, this is a definite buy low. And I'm not saying that it's definitely not, but I think that the concerns for me for DeVante Parker they outweigh the possible upside. And I think if you're able to upgrade and trade him away in some spots, like, I think it's a move that you definitely have to consider.
He already wasn't seeing this massive, massive target share, right? Like, he was seeing respectable targets, but there's no way to think Tua's going to come in and he's going to get... I mean, Parker's had one game with more than 8 targets this year. I mean, he had a 4-target game, a 5-target game, a 3-target game. Like, there's no way you can expect Tua to come in and just only throw to DeVante Parker. Like, I think Tua's going to be more conservative than Fitzpatrick. They've been using their tight ends outside of Mike Gesicki, too. So, I don't know. I just, right now, with the uncertainty, I feel good about Myles Gaskin, and everybody else is kind of a question mark until we see. And it might not even be this week as a good sample because, I mean, Aaron Donald, in your first start of your NFL career, is pretty scary. But it'll be interesting to see, like, after the first 2 weeks, what the target share looks like for Tua.
Moving over to my two guys to get off your teams right now. The first guy I got to kick this off with, and I think that people are going to see, like, obviously with this week's news of Odell Beckham going down, and people are going to look at Jarvis Landry, and his box scores are not pretty. But I think people could be looking at him as a buy low or a trade for, and I'm just not there, man. Like, I think that Landry, you're talking about guys that have been banged up in their production and stuff like that. It hasn't been there for Landry this year. I mean, legit, the dude has zero touchdowns, and people are going to say, and this is how you sell him, okay? He's got zero touchdowns. The regression is coming. It's going to hit. And now he's going to be the number one option, and he's going to get more targets. I'm worried about him because we're getting these rumors about, like, he possibly has a broken rib. Rashad Higgins is not a bum. He's not a scrub. And Landry, it's not a volume thing, but, like, the guy is not playing well this year. He's only gone for more than 70 yards receiving in one matchup. This is still a team that wants to run the damn ball. Like, overall, they're 30th in passing rate. In neutral scripts, they're 28th. They're only throwing the ball on 52% of their plays. And Baker's coming off a 5-touchdown game. I think that there is a lot of goodwill and good things that could be said for Jarvis Landry moving forward. And I'm just not there, man. Like, I look at more concerns than I do positives for this man. And I think that right now it's time to get rid of him, because if he duds this week moving forward, you probably can't get rid of him after that. Like, whatever kind of thoughts people are having on him as a buy low as the number one moving forward in this offense, that is what you use to your advantage. And you kind of, like, gloss over all the volume concerns and how bad he's been to this point. But moving over to a guy that we're talking about, it's difficult to get rid of running backs right now. But I think that there are concerns about this player for the next few weeks, even on a team that wants to run the damn ball, because he's not going to own this backfield by himself. Like, even if Malcolm Brown goes down, Daryl Henderson is not going to be a three down all the way by himself running back. And I know he's been playing more snaps back to back, but Malcolm Brown is still going to be involved in the passing game. He's running more routes than Daryl Henderson. And the next few matchups, like right now, they have the Dolphins this week. Do you want to hold on to him considering other options you could be starting for this week? I don't disagree with that. But after this week or before this week, if you could get the return for him, you need to consider doing it. Because the next three games are terrible, Adam. Terrible, terrible, terrible matchups. They have Seattle, Tampa, and San Francisco. You look at these teams, 11th, 2nd, and 10th in adjusted line yards allowed. They are three top 10 matchups for the Rams in the next 3 weeks after they play Miami this week. That's horrible. And look, for a guy that, okay, if they're not able to move the ball on the ground and they're going to have to pass, I'm talking about Malcolm Brown's the back that they're going to use to do that. It's not going to be Daryl Henderson. So I think right now, considering what he's done in the last 2 to 3 games, is the time that you get rid of Daryl Henderson off of your team. Because you're talking about, like you were talking about with Antonio Gibson, coming off a smash week, you got to sell high. I think that's what you need to do with Daryl Henderson. But your thoughts on these two players?
I really like the Landry call, because we saw Baker, and that was without Austin Hooper and Odell for the, you know, pretty much the whole game. He played one snap. I mean, this is a team, they're running 12 personnel about 26% of the time. The league average is like 19%. And like, that might even go higher without Odell Beckham. And like, Harrison Bryant's proven to be a nice player. We know Austin Hooper was target share was trending up before he got sick. And David Njoku doesn't seem like he still, I believe, wants to get traded, but the Browns keep kind of saying that they're not trading him. So like, they could use all three of these tight ends still. And like you said, still an offense that calls run about 49% of the time. And only the Ravens are running the ball more. Like, I think Landry is, like, a decent floor option the rest of the way, but I don't think Odell's absence is, like, suddenly making Jarvis Landry, like, this huge ceiling player. And then, yeah, like, Daryl Henderson, like, they trust Malcolm Brown in pass protection so much. And, yeah, they're running the ball at one of the highest rates in the NFL, too. But, like, I don't believe him whenever he says it, but at some point, Cam Akers has to play down in the NFL, right?
dude, don't get me crying. I'm gonna cry, man. God dang it, Sean McVay!
Dude, I can't, like, if Sean McVay came out and said, like this, like, today, if he came out in press conference and said, we have a game on Sunday, I wouldn't believe him. I would look at the schedule, see it, and I'd be like, he's lying. he's full of it. Like, they don't have a game on Sunday. Like, I just can't trust him. I think Henderson has proven that he deserves to have, like, 17 to 20 carries each week. But, I mean, Sean McVay, like, is there a coach that you trust less to break down running backs right now than Sean McVay? I don't think so. Like, maybe Pete Carroll, but he can't really say anything because all his running backs are hurt right now anyway. So, I hate the Rams backfield. The Rams have kind of been annoying for fantasy in general because they've been running so much, but they've been using like two guys or sometimes three guys. Their tight ends are run blocking, so they haven't been great. And then Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp have become, you know, high-end wide receiver threes instead of low-end ones or solid twos because the passing volume's gone down. Like, they've been quietly really freaking annoying this year. Maybe not even quietly.
it's not quietly. It's not quietly at all. At least
they've been
this
blatantly
podcast,
annoying as hell.
It's been terrible, man. Like, it's been infuriating no matter which way you slice it, Adam.
See, it's been bad. Like, Robert Woods is getting
R.I.P.
Well, I wasn't even gonna go there. I was just saying personally I don't care, but Robert Woods is getting like three or four more carries per game than Cam Akers, which is easy because Cam Akers is getting zero.
Oh, dang it, that hurts, man. Alright, so that is our four players to trade for and trade away for this week. Alright, we've got a little bit of a lineup change for our DFS game by game breakdown. You have got to head here and listen to this episode when it drops on Friday. We are going to be recording with the man, the myth, the legend, not Kevin Adams this week, Drew, Fantasy Drew from FTN Daily. This dude is coming off hitting for 150K. We're going to get his thoughts, his awesome late swap, everything that he did on his way to the 150K last week, and we're going to go game by game this week with him. You got to tune in, subscribe to the podcast. Again, get signed up for FTNDaily.com. Use the promo code FTC to save 10% off your sign up when you get ready and get to the site. So for Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.